From one islander to another, Isle of Wight Radio proudly presents John Hannam Meets.
Hi, and welcome to another John Hannam Meets archive. Today, I'm going back to 2007, when I had the great thrill of going to a rehearsal studio near Pimlico to interview the wonderful Shirley Ann Field. So, we're going back to 2007.
Another Hannam Archive.
Sometimes in this job, it doesn't always seem like work, and I'm sat with the wonderful Shirley Ann Field. Welcome to John Hannam Meets.
Thank you, John.
I've watched you on the screen for a few years, and I'm always impressed by you, and it was a great buzz to come up and chat to you today.
So. That's nice. Do you know, I was offered a film recently.
Were you?
I have to be honest, I didn't go through with it because there was a big American actress, same time as me, same era. She's probably a nice girl, but she was difficult. They were paying her a fortune, and the English actors were all kind of scale. I thought, no, I'll do a play. And I'm doing this play, and this is a marathon.
Called Loaded. And I must say, you've had a stressful day, but you stayed on to talk to me, and I appreciate that.
Oh,
and we're in Pimlico, aren't we?
You should, John, you should. Thank goodness you're special.
I was watching you last night, early this morning, in Saturday night and Sunday morning, just to put me in a perfect mood. Wonderful.
Yes.
I'm going to talk about that in a minute, because it's a wonderful film. You were in an orphanage, weren't you, early on in your life?
Children's home.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, children's home.
Good memories, looking back?
Well, let's just say this. I work for them now. I'm one of the vice presidents of NCH.
That's wonderful.
And I still work for them. Yes, they gave me a childhood. They gave me... Look, this play I'm doing, Loaded.
Yes.
I could have gone wrong. Like this girl at 17 got into porno films. I didn't. I got into brilliant films and stayed in them.
You certainly did.
But that was because of my Methodist childhood.
Yeah.
They gave me standards. It wasn't all perfect, but it wasn't all bad.
I'm a Methodist as well.
Are you?
Yes.
Well,
there we go.
We'll sing a hymn or two then.
Yeah, we ought to. John Wesley.
Yeah, love John Wesley's hymns.
You were, going back to the early days, some great newspapers like Revally and Titbits.
Yes.
You were a model for them early on, weren't
you? Yes, I was a Weekend Mail girl as well, and the Revally was always doing pictures of me. If you like, we were the innocent Page 3 girls, but dressed.
Yes. Much better, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
A little bit of mystery there.
But a lot of people bought those, Shirley, didn't they?
Yes, I know. Yeah. They do. Yes.
Especially men.
Yes.
Yeah.
What a pity I don't get royalties or residuals.
It is, isn't it?
Yes.
In 55, you sort of began as a film extra. Was it Simon and Laura, one of your early ones?
No, I wasn't in Simon and
Laura. You weren't?
This is a misnomer.
Is it? That's interesting, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. I never was in Simon and Laura. I wouldn't have called myself an extra. We were referred to euphemistically as special girls.
Ah, right.
Which was very unspecial. It meant you were photogenic and you got one line. There was also a sad part of this is you had to get there so early, you finished late, and you couldn't join anybody's restaurant because they had the stars restaurant, which we weren't. They had the extras restaurant where they went. They had the technicians restaurant. We didn't fit anywhere. And it was quite tough.
You were certainly in Peeping Tom, weren't you?
Yes, I'm very proud of Peeping Tom.
Yes.
Peeping Tom, I was in Loser Takes All with Rosanna Bratsy.
Yes.
Ken Anakin, written by Graham Greene. That was one of my first movies. And think, All for Mary and Loser Takes All were my first movies in the 50s, late 50s.
Peeping Tom's sort of become a cult film in a way, hasn't it? Yeah. A lady that lives on the Isle of Wight who was a model, a lady called Pamela Green, who you won't probably...
Yes, I do remember Pamela Green.
Well, she lives on the Isle of Wight, where I come from, right?
How is she?
She's fine. She's been ill, but she's lovely now. And she played one of the dead bodies, I think, in Peeping Tom.
Did she?
Yeah, because she had a sort of modelling career. But
yes, she did. She used to do those, what I call very decent nude shots, and she looked great, and her husband was the photographer.
Yes, he was. He worked on the Sweeney. Sadly, he's died now, but
so did
he. Was a dam buster as well, one of the original dam busters.
Was he really?
Yes, Yeah. You were certainly in a movie with Adam Faith, weren't you?
Yes.
And of course, Adam Faith at that time...
It was sort of, if you like, all our breaks. That film has also become a cult.
Yes.
He was very lovely, Adam. We stayed lifelong friends.
Did you?
I'm sorry he's not around now.
Lovely guy, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. Music by John Barry, of course, who went on to fantastic things.
John Barry. I was so spoilt for choice. I had... Adam was a close friend who I used to call Terry or Tell.
Yes.
I had John Barry as a close friend, still a friend. I had the assistant director who married Lee Remick. You know, it was just a magical time.
Were you friends with Ollie Reed? Because he was in some of your movies, wasn't he? What was he like in those days? Was he all right? Or was he a bit mad or scared?
No. He was the most beautiful man I've ever had to kiss in my screen career.
Really?
He was so beautiful, and he didn't like being beautiful. He was very, very beautiful. He had olive skin with pink flushed cheeks. And I mean, he was beautiful blue eyes and black hair and long lashes. And he hated the fact that he was so, he was almost pretty. And I remember when he got cut up in the little crazy elephant, he was almost glad to have these scars. But it was as if he was embarrassed by his beauty. I think he was.
Mm.
And he also had a very sort of posh accent, which used to irritate me, and I don't know why.
Now, Shirley Anfield, you actually sang in Big Girl, didn't you? You sort of sang a song, didn't you?
Yes, John, I did. And why did you say sang like that?
No, I didn't mean it. It was called It's Legal, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
I also sang very recently in Bramwell in the mid-90s. And
Bramwell was a great series.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Greetings, music lovers and pop pickers. You are listening to John Hannah Meets on Isle of Wight Radio. Incidentally, he's older than I am. All right, not off. Ta-ta.
Currently, I'm with the wonderful Shirley Anfield. Can I say that I don't talk about ages, but you look stunning. It's terrific.
Thank you, John. I'm sorry your viewers, listeners, I should say, can't see us, but it's sort of cosy radio, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Can I say hello to all of them?
You were seduced in a movie by Sir Laurence Olivier, or Laurence Olivier, weren't you? Was it The Entertainer?
That's right. That was my real break.
Yeah.
That's when I broke out of being special girl stroke background player stroke glorified extra, when I finally got this break playing the beauty queen with Sir Laurence.
Mm.
And I couldn't do that now. I look at that scene now because I do talks to women's institutes and all over the country, and I show my clips and I look at it and I think I couldn't do that now. But of course I'm a different stage and a different age, but
yes,
it's a wonderful experience and part that I played in that.
The Entertainer is marvellous, isn't
it? I'm very proud of it.
Saturday Night and Sunday Morning was a groundbreaking movie, Shirley, really, wasn't it? We'd been used to sort of glossy American movies and this sort of thing. All of a sudden, it was about factory life and a guy that, well, a bit of a wild boy, wasn't it?
It was the new wave.
It was, yeah.
What we actually did, we made working class accents not only acceptable, we made them sexy.
We certainly did.
We did.
Yes.
But the trouble is, it's gone too far now.
Yes.
You can't talk English and get a job.
You were Doreen in that, weren't you?
Doreen, rotten name, ain't it?
I loved the first scene when you met him in the pub and you were sort of eyeing each other up, and then you had half a shandy, didn't you?
All right, I will have one.
And then he said to you, he wanted to take you to the pictures, right?
And what did I say?
Well, he wanted back row, and I don't think you did.
I said, not on back row. He said, I can't see if
I... Classic line, that was.
And I said, you want glasses by the sound of it.
But you must have had some fun on that movie, because Hilda Baker was there, who was a great variety star, wasn't she?
We did. Many stories there. Many, many stories.
Was it a bigger movie than you thought it was going to be?
Because No. We knew... It was exciting. You can always tell when something's going to be good.
Yeah.
You can get that feeling. I've had a very up and down life. I don't know why. I'd like to have made a fortune. I haven't, because we weren't paid very well. Everything was experimental. Everything's turned into a triumph, which I'm grateful for, but I wish that I'd had got royalties and residuals. You don't get those in movies.
No.
So that I could pick and choose, but... In many ways, I shouldn't grumble, because the work has been very rewarding.
Albert Finney was sort of one of those lucky actors that ladies adored, and men liked him because he was a sort of a hero to men as well. He had a sort of following from all types of people, didn't he?
He did, yes.
Yeah.
And Albert's a very discerning actor, and he's a very lucky, fortunate man, but it could be due to his personality.
Hmm.
I mean, he didn't become, in many ways, the conventional leading man, but I think he's such a good actor that I don't think that he particularly... I think he works when he wants to. Which must be a wonderful position to be in.
Just before we leave that, there was a lovely scene when you were waiting for Mother to go to bed before you sort of got cozy downstairs. Yes. So you pretended, it was lovely. Yes. You shouted out goodbye and then he crept back in, didn't he?
Yes. Oh, so lovely and innocent and sexy all at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah.
A lot of magic there.
Because in those days, much of it was left to the imagination, which was far better, don't you think?
Yes, I do, yes.
Yeah.
Well, this play is going to shock you then, John. It's very rude at times.
Is it?
Yes.
We'll talk about that in a minute. I'm looking forward to it. 62, you made War Lover with Steve McQueen.
Yeah. And Robert Wagner.
Yes. And Michael Crawford, I think, was in that, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Yeah. He was the rear gunner.
Yeah.
Rear bomber, I think.
Good memories of that one?
1963, very good memories. Yeah. It's 1963.
Yeah, what was Steve McQueen like then?
Difficult.
Was he?
Wonderful. Special. Stayed a friend for life.
Yeah.
Sorry he's not around.
Yes.
But he could be very tricky.
Yeah.
And it was very different working with an American actor to an English actor. But... ended up respecting each other and liking each other.
Did you think, because he was on his way up then, wasn't he?
Yes.
Did you think he would become as big a star as he did?
He told me he would.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yes. He grabbed hold of me one day and he said, listen, you may fancy the other fella, but I'm going to be the biggest star in the world. Talk about positive feeling.
Yeah.
And how it works for you, because right after that he did The Great Escape.
Yes.
And he became a world star.
Yeah, set him up, didn't it?
He'd been 10 or 12 years in telly before that. So he was hungry for success and he got it. And then when he got it, it wasn't all he imagined.
No. There was a lovely story, because the famous scene was when he went over the wall on a motorbike, wasn't it?
Yes.
And somebody that was in it told me that in the movie, it was a stuntman, but one night when nobody was around, he did it. You know, but he would, wouldn't he? He went over on a motorbike with nobody around.
Good. Well, that makes him more of a hero, because he was always sinking his motorbike when he was around on War Lover.
Do you look back on The Damned, which is a sort of a sci-fi thing set in Dorset, I think. Did you enjoy doing that one?
Yes. I liked working with Joseph Losey. I liked working with Oliver Reed. I like working with MacDonald Carey. I particularly like working with the 22 children.
Yes.
It was great fun, and Joseph Losey was a unique talent.
And that's a film now which has also got a following, is it? That type of movie has. Because they were in a cave, the children, weren't they? Yeah.
Yes. They couldn't come up. They were nuclear children.
Yes, yeah. Did you like... You obviously like working with them, but it's always dangerous working with children, isn't it, to some extent, because...
I was so young myself, and Joe Losey used to say to me, whenever he was in trouble with the children, he said, could you come and organise them? They listen to you.
Oh, really?
Yes. 22, you don't think twice. Just get in line. Come on, let's do it. Well, we used to get on with it.
Were you scary in those days? Were you a scary sort of person?
No, not scary, just forceful and out front and... full of joys in many ways.
Yeah. You went to Hollywood and you did Kings of the Sun, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Looking back, was that a good move for you, Shirley? Or?
It was what you call an Eastern as opposed to a Western. It could have been better, but it was fun to do and it was nice to be in the system. The funny thing is that myself, who didn't have a big family, was desperately homesick. It was the place I always wanted to be, and I got there and I think I was just overtired. I realise now that it gave me a sort of panic attack because the phone never stopped ringing. I was so spoilt for choice. The orange juice was too orange. The sun was too hot. My eyes burned. I was completely, probably, overcome by it all.
Mm.
All my dreams, and yet I felt lost. I wanted to get back to where I knew, to England and people that I knew. And I only had a very small... I had a boyfriend called Brian, who became my whole family, and a brother called Guy. And that's what I wanted to get back to.
Do you regret sort of not almost turning your back on Hollywood then? Do you regret that or not really?
No. No, because I went back.
Yeah.
And I know it now very well.
Yes.
I didn't stay in America. I could have done. I could have been like Jackie Bisset and Jane Seymour and people like that. But I was... The funny thing is, if I could have the sense in my life that I've had in my work, instinctively I'd always pick the rather good things.
Mm.
And essentially, in a way, I could have done some very good work in America. I did do something in the late 90s called Revolution, which was very good. And it was the age I am now, and it was about when the Redcoats first conquered America and how people broke away. And I was doing it with Sophie Ward, and we saw each other the other day, and we were saying, oh, if that had gone, we'd be very rich and very comfortable and established in America and have big pensions. I mean, two actresses talking about being comfortable, but we were dreaming a little. But our lives would have been very different.
Yeah, Yul Brynner was in Kings of the Sun,
yes,
wasn't he?
Yeah. Was lovely. Yul, I knew Yul very well.
Did you?
Many years I knew Yul. He'd photographed me.
Yeah.
Of course, I was in Once More with Feeling in Paris when I was 17, playing the student, Stanley Donen film.
Yes.
The last film that Kay Kendall ever was in.
Shh.
She was so wonderful to me as a youngster.
Was he sort of charismatic on and off set, was he?
Yeah. Yes. But he was, let's see, both Steve and he were inclined to embroider.
Yes.
One day they'd say one thing and one day they'd say another, and they would make fanciful stories up. I mean, like Steve McQueen told me his wife was a Polynesian princess. She was actually a New York Puerto Rican girl. Steve would tell me that he was, you know, I mean, he was a funny man because he was a little mid-European descent Jewish man, very, very talented. And he shaved his head one day, and he had a beautiful shaped head, became a sex symbol. And he was wonderful in The King and I.
Yeah.
Wonderful. But he'd make up stories about that he was Mongolian, and he was this and that and the other. A lot of it was storytelling.
It's great. He's got a swell personality. He meets and greets the stars with such amenity. Good enough to make you coming out of the street. John Hannah-Mae. That's right.
We were talking about music at the start, and I said, shall we play Alfie? And you said, no. Quite definitely no.
Well, I'll tell you why.
Go on, then.
It's a wonderful movie, the original Alfie. Mm. But I don't do myself quite credit in it. Not my fault, not the fault of the wonderful people who made it, the Gilbert family, especially John Gilbert, who's a close and dear friend of me, as his wife Joni is, and Lewis Gilbert too, and Hilda, who's not with us, I'm sorry to say, was lovely. But you see, the film was too long, and I had a wonderful love scene with Michael Caine. And I remember Lewis phoning me about it, the director and producer, Lewis Gilbert. And he said, look, the film is too long. We've either got to cut that or cut short the abortion scene. And to my credit, the Christian Right in America said you couldn't have a consensual sex scene before the abortion scene, because ours was a humorous scene.
Mm, it was, yeah.
Done enough humor.
No.
And so they cut that scene out. Now, if I could find that scene now, we could all make a fortune.
But it's one of the highlights of the film when he said, it's wonderful what you can get on the National Health, isn't it?
Oh, isn't it wonderful? Yes.
Something like
but
that,
you
wasn't
see,
it?
After that, it was followed by this lovely love scene with his feet at one end of the bed, mine at the other, with a clock in the middle. And I remember people like Otto Preminger telling me about it, how wonderful I was and I should do comedy. But nobody can find that scene now.
Oh, I love the bit when you just see your legs and your sort of your foot creeping up your leg, and all of a sudden they disappear.
Yes, it's funny, isn't it? Well, I'm glad you've got such warm memories of it.
Oh yeah, I never went to see the remake because I thought, no, Alfie,
I
can't
did.
Be. Was it? Were you impressed or not really?
Not the same way. No.
No.
No. No. I didn't review it. The Mail were going to pay me to review it, but I couldn't because it was produced by friends of mine for a fortune, and I couldn't review it unless I could say something equally positive, and it didn't compare.
No, I'm sure. Doctor in Clover, that was completely different.
Yes.
Usual sort of crew, Leslie Phillips, yes. James Roberts and Justice, Terry Scott, Arthur Haynes was in that, it was great, wasn't it? Joan Sims. You must have had some fun filming that.
I adored Joan Sims.
Yes.
She was the most wonderful woman, and she had a struggle towards the end of her life.
She did.
Yeah. Oh, it's so sad.
She should have made a lot more money, surely.
She should.
Yeah.
Listen, If you work in the English film industry, it's stop, start, stop, start, stop, stop, stop. Stop, start, 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 stop, stop.
Mm.
And it's very hard. And she made some great and wonderful moments on the screen.
Leslie Phillips in those days, he was so good in those movies, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Yeah. I regret now that perhaps I was going to be working with him again, but because I decided not to, I won't be. But I do see Leslie, and I worked with him in D. Ellen Pascoe not
so
long
ago. You've done, I'll talk about some TV, haven't you? You've done lots of TV, haven't you? More recently, of course, you were in My Beautiful Laundrette, weren't you? That was a really, to some extent, a surprise hit, but it was a big hit movie, really, wasn't it?
It was a wonderful film.
Yeah.
Stephen Frears, it's a great triumph for Stephen, because he'd now, you see, how did I know Stephen Frears? He was at the Royal Court. He was assistant to Lindsay Anderson.
Really?
And years later, I work with him in Beautiful Laundrette. He's the man who's just done Queen.
Yeah.
The Queen with Helen Mirren.
Yes.
He's a wonderful director, Stephen. It's lovely that he's got this triumph now.
You were Syed Jeffries, his character's mistress, I think.
Yes,
really,
that's right,
Daniel Day-Lewis as well.
Yes, it was Daniel Day-Lewis's break, along with Room at the Top.
Yes. Mm. So, were you surprised at the success of that? Because it was sort of almost a low-budget type of film, wasn't it?
It was very low-budget.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't surprised. You can always tell. You always get that feeling.
Hmm.
Like in the 90s when I made Hear My Song.
I was just going to talk about that because I love Joseph Bloch.
You must love that.
Oh.
Have you seen that film?
Yes, I loved
it. Wonderful.
Yeah.
It's one of my favourites. Why is it one of my favourites? Because the girl I play, Kathy Doyle, is the grown-up version of all those girls I played. She's the grown-up beauty queen comes back for.
Yes.
It's wonderfully sort of evocative for me. She's the grown-up Tina that I played in The Entertainer. My two favourites, The Entertainer and Hear My Song.
Mm.
40 years apart, almost.
Because Joseph Bloch, you know, years before then, back in the 50s, and he was tremendously popular, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, huge star.
Yeah.
In fact, I'd gone to see him from my children's home. I'd gone to the Bolton, I think, Hippodrome.
Had you?
Nancy saved up and took us all in a... what was called a charabanc then.
Yes, I remember it well.
Yeah.
Lady Chatterley too.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I thought I'd have a huge career from that, playing character parts. Do you know, I got all sorts of accolades, good reviews. Nobody realised it was me.
Amazing,
isn't
it?
Put on padding, changed my hair, did all sorts of things. But I love playing that character.
And it was a very big hit on television, wasn't it? Obviously,
yes.
Lots of hype, obviously, because of the subject. And everybody knows Lady Chatterley's Lover. But it was a good production, don't you think?
Yes, very good. He's very good, Ken Russell.
Oh, yes.
Very good.
Yeah.
John Hannam, host of British Radio's longest-running non-stop chat show. This is Your Life.
Coming towards the end of an interview with Shirley Anfield, who's currently touring in a play, or just about to start in a play called Loaded, which takes you to Bracknell, Guildford, and the Theatre Royal Portsmouth, which is very close to us, and that is on March the 9th.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
And how long am I there for?
You're only there for a night.
Oh, what a shame. I hope you'll come to it.
Very much so.
Oh, good.
I want to talk just before you go. I know you're busy. You've had a very long day. You've done one or two tellies. You did a daytime soap for a little while, didn't
you? Yes, I did in America, Santa Barbara.
Was that good? Did you enjoy it?
It was hard work. And it was not high quality, but it was very well paid. But I wasn't sensible. I should have been. Should have stashed the money and kept going, but I didn't. I got claustrophobia.
Oh, did you?
But it was all right. They were nice people.
Yeah. And more recently, you've done high quality shows like Monica the Glen, which is very popular, wasn't it? Where the Heart Is, The Bill. Buccaneer, you played Janet Blair, I think, in that, didn't you? Do you remember?
Yes, all those years ago. And then I did Madsen, that was Ian McShane's company. And what a shame that didn't go, because Ian was trying to look after us all, and he's now got a big success in America. I'm very glad.
Yes, he has, yeah.
What is that thing called?
I can't remember, but
it's very good. It's the villain.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be nice, wouldn't it, if I get something like that.
Telling me. And Bramwell, you briefly mentioned because you sang it.
Oh, it was wonderful. I was the guest star of their first episode, And Lucy Gannon's a very good writer, and I wish she'd gone on, but she wanted the dynamic to be between the doctor and the daughter. But, oh, he was such a wonderful actor that I worked with in that. We wanted it so much to go on. Now, what is the name of that actor who's so wonderful?
Yes, that would have been David Calder.
Best yeah. I've ever worked. Because he's one of those actors who consistently does great things and keeps a very good career going, but doesn't make the headlines.
Mm.
But he does among actors.
What was Yakety Yak? Was that an early quiz thing? Did you ever remember that?
Yes,
that was
young. I remember it. Every taxi driver for years drove me mad about it.
Did they?
And I'll tell you a very funny story. This character I'm playing is a bit affected and thinks she's been a great star, even though she's been in rather dodgy movies.
Yes.
Not like me.
No.
Dodgy movies. And I met somebody at a bus stop about 8 years ago, who was in Yakety Yak with me, who was rather old and grey now, and she was standing with her daughter at the bus stop. And I thought that she'd say, well done, how are you, how wonderful to see you, isn't it good that you went on working? And what she said was this to her daughter: oh, darling, this is Shirley Hand. She worked with me once or twice. Nothing about anything that I'd done. And she'd left the business in 1959. But she didn't mention anything I'd done. So I've got a bit of her coming into this character that I'm about to play in Loaded.
Yeah, I'm just going to just mention Loaded. Yeah. We're just about to finish. So this is an exciting thing for you, isn't it, really?
I think so, if I can get to enjoy it. But at the moment, I'm a bit harassed. It's a bad time to talk to an actor. Second week of rehearsals, when you've got to learn lots of pages.
You'll be fine.
We hope so.
Yeah.
The play will be fine because it's good. And I'll be fine because I've decided to be.
Just before you go, are you still ambitious? You are, aren't you, really?
Yes, I'm more than ambitious. I'd like to be safe and secure and not have to panic. I'd like to make sure that my daughter and her husband are well taken care of. I'd like my two grandsons to be perfectly looked after, and I'd like the world to be safe. And I don't always remember that every day, and I'd like us all to be happy.
I consider you a real actress.
Thank you very much, John. Well, let's hope it'll all turn round on a sixpence. And we remember sixpences, don't we?
We certainly do. And it's been a great tour to meet you, because you've been a great guest. I know you feel tired, but you wouldn't know that. You're great. Good. And you look good.
Thank you.
And lots of luck.
You want to see me when I'm trying. This is after a long, hard day.
I know, I'm most impressed.
You're listening to Isle of Wight Radio, and don't miss John Hannam Meets, because you like it. Not a lot, but you like it.
Thank you so much for listening to another John Hannam Meets archive. Today, I've been to Pimlico back in 2007 with Shirley Ann Field. Bye-bye for now.
Well, that was super smashing great, wasn't it? Jim Bourne here, just reminding you, you've been listening to John Hannam on Isle of Wight Radio.